Hi, folks. This is Mark Joyner, and this is the Simpleology Bestseller Blueprint Prep School Call. And I want to welcome you guys today. This is just such a special, interesting night for everyone tonight. If you've been reading everything that's been going on over the last couple of weeks with the release of The Rise of the Author and tuning in to how important it is that you move fast on this opportunity, this is just it's a really special event for me because I know that being a best-selling author is something that absolutely changed my life. When I initially set out to do that, I was already very, very successful in various areas of my life, but when it became a bestseller, it basically changed the way everyone saw me. Now, I want to hear from some of the guests here. We've got Dr. Joe Vitale and Frank Rimbauskas, two number one best-selling authors. Joe, a multiple number one best-selling author. Both of these guys are absolutely fantastic at what they do. Not only are their books absolutely fantastic, and do I recommend them both wholeheartedly without reservation, but they're both not only that, but genius marketers and brilliant teachers as well. And that's something that we hold really, really important here at Simpleology, is that you can do something and that's wonderful, and that certainly qualifies you to be someone who can teach more so than someone who has only watched people or has learned from others. But if you can transfer that knowledge to others in an effective way, that sort of sets you aside from everyone else. And that is exactly why we've picked Joe and Frank, because they meet all of those qualifications. Their books are fantastic. They're brilliant marketers and they're great teachers. They're both wonderful friends of mine as well. So Joe and Frank, thank you both so much for coming tonight.
Thanks for the invite. Thank you.
Very, very welcome. Great to have you as well. Sorry I cut you off there, Frank. Now, I want to ask you guys, before we really get rolling here, about what this has meant to you to be a best-selling author. Now, before I ask you guys that question and I put that right to you, I want to kind of put some ideas in everyone's mind. Towards the end of the call, I'm going to be giving out a very special document that we've called Nightshade. And Night is spelled N-Y-T. That's short for the New York Times. And the New York Times bestseller list is sort of the creme de la creme of bestseller lists. And the formula for that is protected pretty much as closely as the recipe for Coca-Cola. And we have done something pretty extraordinary here. I think that we have cracked the code for the New York Times bestseller list more effectively than has ever been done. And I don't think I've spoken with Joe or Frank about this at all, so I'm going to leave it to them to give their unbiased reaction to what I tell you guys. Now, that's going to be towards the end of the call, probably about a quarter to the hour. I'm going to give you guys the download link for that. And also some special information about it. Not only are we going to show you this document, but we're going to show you some work that we have done for you as well, that's going to make this a lot easier than you would have ever imagined. And it's just so cool. We had guys doing phone calls over the last couple of weeks. Literally hundreds of man hours have gone into putting together what I'm about to show you towards the end of the call. It's truly extraordinary. Now, with that said, Joe and Frank, both two guys I love and respect so much. You guys are just amazing at what you do. Starting with Frank, Frank, now, could you just give us a quick rundown on how being a best-selling author, now you're a New York Times best-selling author now, how that has impacted your life?
Well, Mark, first of all, thanks for having me on here. As soon as you asked that question, the irony of the answer came to mind. Because for quite some time, before I became a published author, I had had some interest from authors, and I actually very reluctantly accepted my first book contract. And the reason I did it reluctantly was because my fear was that, as an information marketer, if I put my knowledge into a book that was available for $14 on Amazon, people would stop buying my direct products, which is, you know, how I put food on my table, and instead would buy the published books. So I had this great fear. I didn't want to do it, and I see other information marketers refraining from being published and turning down book contracts for the same reason. What has happened in reality is that being a New York Times bestseller has exploded my product sales more than any other single thing I've done. It's given me so much credibility that just tracking my website traffic, people come to the homepage and they see Frank Rimbauskas, New York Times best-selling author, and the conversion rate and the opt-in rate is multiple times higher than without those words on the page. So the short answer is that the credibility I've received from being a best-selling author, and on top of that a New York Times bestseller, is that my direct product sales have absolutely exploded. And, of course, on top of that comes consulting offers, speaking fees, and all that other good stuff that comes along with being a best-selling author.
Wow, extremely well said. It is quite ironic, isn't it? You know, we think that by selling something for a lower price is going to leave a lot of money on the table. It's just not the reality. The credibility that we get impacts everything. Well, not just the credibility, but it's this wonderful little salesman that sort of floats throughout the world, isn't it? Now, Joe has got a case where one of his books was passed on from one person to the next in a hotel. One of his books, I think it's The Seven Law Secrets for Success, was once found with a note in it, hey, read this and pass it on to the next guy. Wow, I mean, what better advertising can you possibly get for your business? So before we get to Joe, Frank, just on a personal level, how has this affected, I mean, has it affected your self-confidence, your personal relationships at all?
Oh, tremendously, in every possible way. It self-confidence, poise, the way I conduct myself, the way I walk into interactions, the way I walk into any kind of negotiating situation, knowing that, even just on a subconscious level, knowing that I've got this incredible edge and this incredible weapon in my bag of tricks if I need to pull it out, it's really changed how bold I am in my business, how bold and confident I am personally, and all those things wrapped up into one.
Wow, it's certainly been the case for me as well. And I mean, I remember when I was at a party once, and this was before I was married, and this was a party in LA, and you know, some of these LA Hollywood parties, you know, people kind of put on these airs. And I remember seeing this woman that I thought was attractive, and I started talking to her, and she was giving me the cold shoulder, and I just kind of moved on. I don't have a lot of, you know, patience for that. Obviously, I'm not gonna, you know, go and beg, right? So a friend went over and said, you know, hey, that I was a number one best-selling author. And all of a sudden, her reaction to me totally changed. And she came up and started talking to me, and I just thought it was absolutely hilarious. She sat there and started talking to me, telling me a story. And I said, how come you weren't, you know, interested in talking to me about 10 minutes ago? And she was just stunned. It was a beautiful moment for me. So, moving on to Joe. Joe, I gotta say, you know, you and I have been great friends for so long now, and you've always been very successful since the beginning of time that I knew you. But I mean, especially recently, I mean, you have just had a meteoric rise with your appearances in The Secret, and now all of these, you know, national TV appearances that you've been doing. Was becoming a best-selling author an integral part that led into that for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. None of that would have happened had I not written books.
Yeah.
And that is measurable. That is something that can be proved. Because I wrote the book, The Attractor Factor, which was handed to Rhonda Byrne at one point when she was vacationing in Maui, she called me and told me about what she planned to do with this movie. And I didn't know her. She didn't have a budget. She didn't have a script. I didn't know anything. But it was because of my book, The Attractor Factor, that she considered me for the movie, then ultimately put me in the movie, The Secret, which, of course, put my name and my website and my other books all over the map and put me above the radar. And that, of course, led to me going on Larry King twice, on Donnie Deutsch's show. I am now in about 5 other movies that will be coming out in 2008. I've got people talking to me about my own television show. All of this can go right back to the one key domino that I had set up, and that was writing the book, The Attractor Factor. And we can go, and I can echo all the stuff that you just said about how you go up in status when you become an author. And I often tell people that the word authority has the word author in it. And so when you become an author, you become an authority on whatever you've written about. And so I can double what Frank just said and said, yeah, that's exactly my case as well. I can tell stories like you've just said, and that's the same thing for me. And I can also speak to the personal growth level, that my own confidence went up when I was published and I can wave around a book. And I know that in the eyes of other people, when they saw books like one of my early ones, the AMA Complete Guide to Small Business Advertising, which was published by the American Marketing Association, I would just show that, and people would just think, oh, my God, he is a god of marketing. Well, I may not be any brighter than anybody else at Barton, but I had a book to show, and that was the evidence that was very conclusive in people's minds. So, yes, books have ultimately transformed my life in the most astonishing of ways.
And, you know, just to underscore this, guys, if you don't know anything about Joe's life, you know, not to dig too deep into it, but Joe literally transformed himself from the direst of circumstances to the highest of circumstances. I mean, here he is now, you know, with more airtime on probably one of the most successful films ever made now. I think we can say that about The Secret. Certainly, you know, outside of a mainstream movie theater, it's probably had more viewership than any DVD-only film I've ever heard about, and now he's in five others. And it's not about having something handed to you. It's about standing up and taking that. If you stand up and say that you are the authority, you become the authority. And all of these people that we read books from, these are people just like you who at one point, just like the point you're at right now, made a decision to become the authority. And as Joe very, very well put, author is part of the root of that. That's part of the etymology, as they say, of the word authority. Authority comes from authorship or from creation, and that's something that you choose to do. Nobody comes to you and says, you're the authority, you're worthy now of writing a book. You choose to do it. And there are people who have written books that have been rejected by standard print publishers time and time again to be picked up by one finally or to go and self-publish and to have outrageous success. And I'll give you two quick examples of that. My dear friend Ted Nicholas is on record as pretty much the most successful self-published author in the history of the world. He has sold over 5 million copies of his book through self-publishing. There's another case that you should look into. There's a really interesting book called Ishmael, which was turned down by about 20 publishers. And it was finally granted the Turner Prize and turned into a multi-million copy best-selling author. Now, these people at that point in their life, they could have chosen to listen to the voices that said that they were not worthy, but they said, no, I'm the authority. And they became the author, and that authority was then transferred to everyone who came in contact with that book, and it thus transformed their lives. Now, look, we could probably have a three-hour call just about the benefits of being a best-selling author. Now, I want to talk in a minute here about how possible and how easy it is for you. But before I do it, I want to sort of talk for a second about the urgency of this. If you read the short book or ebook, I don't really want to call it an ebook because I think I'm going to turn it into a print book now, that I wrote a couple weeks ago called The Rise of the Author, you'll understand at a deep level now how extremely urgent this is on several levels. I talked about two windows that exist, and there was a concept of the great nexus, which means that at some point in time, if people have the knowledge, the will, and the means to do something or to use a particular technology, and that knowledge, will, and means is held by a large number of people, that is what I call the great nexus, and it opens up what I call the great window, meaning that that window is open for you as a person to take advantage of that nexus of the knowledge and the will and the means to use a particular technology. But here's the thing. If we look back at history, a very cursory look at history will tell you that those windows close because things change. New technologies are developed. Power is gone from the decentralized hands of people back into the centralized hands of the few. And this happens. This is just the natural ebb and flow, it seems, of the way the world is set up. Right now, we have a great window that we are sitting on that allows the average person to use the internet in profound ways to leverage their marketing messages at a lower cost than ever at any point in history. And I don't know if I can get that message across to you with enough passion. It's something that has affected my life so greatly and the life of so many people who have walked through it. There's another window that we're sitting on at the same time, and there's a third window that I just discovered, and I'll tell you about in a second. The second window is this. We don't know how much longer being a print author is going to be something that gives you credibility. As technology changes and we go into electronic publishing more, it could be. Now, nobody knows how this is going to shape up, but it very well could be, and I predict that it will be the case, that print authors will be sort of looked back on with the same type of cute reverence that we might give, say, the star of a radio show. Now, if you're not Garrison Keillor, being the star of a radio show doesn't do that much for you these days. Now, I'm not talking about a radio show like Howard Stern. I'm talking about, you know, the star of a fiction radio show. That is what being a print author may very well mean for us in the future. Now, there's a third window. I had a very interesting conversation with Harry S. Dent, the very famous economist, a couple days ago, and he was talking about how he feels that there's going to be a radical economic shift happening, and that he thinks people should be moving their assets into cash or into business ownership. And the best way to leverage your business is to be a best-selling author. Now, I want to pass it over to Frank and Joe here for a quick second to get their thoughts on that, just so we can sort of underscore the urgency for you guys to act now. Starting with Frank, how do you feel about all that?
I think that's absolutely correct, because to put that into perspective, if I look at how I began my online business in 2003 and I duplicated that same methodology today, I would get blown out, because what was cutting edge in 2003 and what I learned largely through trial and error, because it was not readily available today through the internet and information products and books, today would not be cutting edge. What I'm doing today in terms of my marketing to remain cutting edge is dramatically different than what my websites looked like in 2003. Likewise, being a best-selling print author today, it gives us all the advantages, and like you said, we could talk for hours and hours about all the advantages we get from it, but as people begin to crack the code, more and more people gain access to it, naturally the value is going to decrease. Now, it's obviously not going to happen overnight, because being a best-selling author, especially a New York Times or Wall Street Journal best-selling author, is still very, very highly coveted and very highly respected, and opens endless doors. But as you said, not only is the code going to be cracked eventually and more common people gain access to that level of credibility, but on top of that, as we move forward into the information age and away from the industrial age, we're moving away from print. Print is a relic of the industrial age. It still exists, but as we all know, it's gradually going away and it's gradually disappearing, and there are going to be new measuring sticks as to who has the credibility and who does not as we continue to move forward.
Extremely well said. Joe, what do you think?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm very resistant to that idea. I've read your special report or ebook or manifesto, whatever you want to call it, and I was stunned by it. I think it's a work of genius. And if you remember, in L.A. many, many years ago, I was on stage with you and Ted Nicholas and a bunch of other people, and somebody asked, what would I do differently today? And I said, what I would do differently is pay more attention to Mark Joyner. I don't know if you remember that or not, but that's what I said, because I was resistant to a lot of your earlier ideas, including when you first came to me wanting to bring one of my out-of-print books into in e-book form. And I said, what the hell is an e-book, and who would buy an e-book, and this is a crazy idea. Mark seems like a nice man, but I'm going to tell him no after 2 years. And then, of course, once I did come out with an e-book, I tasted blood and said, oh, my God, was I ridiculously foolish and limited thinking. So, yeah, I'm resistant to this, but at the same time, I got to admit that the technology and everything is changing, and it changes so swiftly that all I have to do is look at iTunes and see that people are downloading music, they're downloading TV shows, and I guess they can download movies off of Amazon. There's so much that I don't know, but I do know it's changing, and I have learned my lesson. So I'm paying attention to what you have to say, Mark.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. And I have to say, to your credit, you know, you are being intelligently conservative. You know, we don't all jump on, you know, every trend that comes to us. You know, we didn't know back then, you know, where the ebook thing was headed. I certainly didn't know either. You know, I just had hope, you know, that it was going to do well. You know, of course, you know, as my old battalion commander told me, though, hope is not a course of action. You know, you've actually got to take a, you know, specific.
I love that quote. I remember it in your book. That's great.
I love that quote as well. It's certainly been a guiding principle in my life. Well, I think that certainly things are changing, and there's absolutely no doubt about it. And as much affinity I have for print books, I mean, print books have changed my life. It would be very, very hard for me to not think of them reverently. But I have to think about what kids are like today. You know, kids that have grown up in an era where everyone has an iPod, where everyone knows what PlayStation is, everyone knows the internet. They cannot remember a time without it. These are guys who don't know that Paul McCartney had a band before, you know. You know, and these are people growing up in a totally different world, and we can either, you know, accept it or just sort of let it change without us. Now, on the really positive side of this, hey, that's something that may change, and we do need to take advantage of the urgency now, because if we do become print bestsellers now, it certainly has an impact. It has not gone away yet, and I don't see it going away for a good long while. So we've got a good opportunity here to jump on if we move quickly. So let's talk really quickly about how easy it is, practically speaking. Now, a lot of people might think, oh, best-selling author, and they look up in the sky, and they think of this person, this great reverent person that they could never touch or attain because they're so much higher. I think anybody who's met me in person and knows how laid back I am, I will shatter that illusion for you immediately. But let me just sort of ask you guys, from a practical perspective, is this something that you feel that anyone could do to come out with a book and to be a best-selling author? Let's go with Frank.
Okay. It's a two-sided question, yes and no. The formula is yes. The strategy is yes. I'll get to that in a second. The no part is regarding content, and we did a call this past week, and we talked about the fact that anybody can do this and anybody can duplicate the process, but for it to be effective and for the sake of your reputation, really, if you're going to sell a large number of anything, it's got to be quality. So your content and your book has got to be quality. So that's the variable. The part that is non-variable is the system and the procedure and the strategy for doing this. When I first became published, I had no idea this was possible. Then luckily I was first introduced to you, Mark, and then to you, Joe, and learned a ton from you guys, read all of your books, and got the understanding and got the idea into my head that it's possible. Like so many other things, it seems impossible until you learn the formula. Then suddenly it's possible. So the answer is, as long as you have good content and as long as you're offering a good quality book, then yes, this is absolutely possible for anyone. And in fact, if you execute the strategy properly and you follow the procedure step by step, then yes, it's almost a sure thing that you're going to become a best-selling author.
I think that's really great advice. And now one really good thing here is that in the bestseller blueprint, we're going to be giving everyone access to some special training I'm going to be putting on with a dear friend of mine, Richard Webster. In fact, Joe Vitale introduced me to Richard many years ago when I first moved out to Auckland. Richard is the author of over 95 books. He has got some techniques for speed writing that will allow anyone to crank out really, really high quality content in a faster manner than you would ever imagine. I've got my own techniques, starkly different from what Richard does. Now, I've been known to write an entire book in a day. The Irresistible Offer, for example, I wrote in a day. Now, I'll talk about the methods that I use to do that. So, you know, what Frank is talking about is right on. However, don't worry about that. There are methods that you can learn that will definitely allow you to crank out the high-quality content. The thing is, though, you've got to know what you're doing. And that's exactly one of the things that we're going to show you. We're going to show you guys from beginning all the way to the end how to conceive a sellable idea, how to put those ideas together. And believe me, some of these speed writing techniques are going to blow your mind. It's way easier than you think it is to write quality content if you know what you're doing. You've just got to really prepare things properly. Anyway, we'll tell you all about that. So let me ask Joe. Joe, what do you think about that? Is it fairly easy these days to become a best-selling author?
Yeah, absolutely, and I've proved it. I've helped about 35 people become best-selling authors, and
wow.
I've done it, as you said earlier in the intro, repeatedly for a wide variety of my own books. Almost every one of my last dozen or so books have been best-selling books. Definitely, it's possible, it's doable, and I've proved it. I totally agree with Frank that you do have to have a good book, and there are ways that you can make this very easy in itself. I used to teach writing techniques, and you use writing techniques, Mark, that cut through all of this and make it a pretty easy process to get something done very quickly. I wrote one of my books, like you did, in a day. I've taught people how to write books in 6 days. So that part is easy. My favorite story, to tell you real quickly, is of my friend Pat O'Brien, who you also know, Mark. Pat was a struggling blues musician. He's got several CDs out. He's pretty well known in Europe. When he goes over there, he's got standing room only crowds. But he was actually starving. He attended one of my seminars, got the bug about going on the internet, got the bug about writing a book. He ended up writing a book called Your Portable Empire. Then, of course, he wanted to make it a bestseller. He knew that he had a good title. Your Portable Empire sounds great. He knew that the book had good content in it because he had gotten a lot of feedback from me and other people. And then he just implemented the strategy, as Frank said, is already proven. It's already there. The system there, is, you know, it's a paint-by-numbers approach. And his book became a bestseller. And it was one of the things he needed for his, I don't know if it's for his self-esteem or just to tell himself that he has achieved something. So when his book became a bestseller, he went up in his own eyes. And, of course, the audience that was reading his books now think he's the general of the Portable Empire Army. So that's a very quick story of somebody who's come out of nowhere and wrote a first book and made it a bestseller. So, yes, it is easy.
Well, anybody who's met Pat would know, you know, you just have to smile to hear that because he's just one of the sweetest guys in the world, you know, and to hear that transferred some positive self-image to him through the process of it, it really warms your heart to hear it. And it's true, you know, and when your estimation of yourself goes up in your own eyes, the estimation of others of you will go up in their eyes as well. And that is just a fact of nature. You can just observe this through your own behavior. Now, I want to give a quick overview here of the general strategy for becoming a best-selling author. Now, we're going to get into this in much greater detail in the blueprint. And there are nuances here and little subtleties that you have to earn, that you have to learn, rather. There are a lot of things that can go wrong if you go out and you try this on your own, if you don't know exactly what you're doing. But you know, this is why we put this together in a paint-by-number system, so that you can't mess it up. My friend Matt Gill was reading this, and he wrote back, and he said, you know, you'd really have to try hard to break this system because it put together. So let me just give you a general overview of the concept, okay? Now, this what I'm about to tell you applies to Amazon. It applies to New York Times. It applies to USA Today, to Wall Street Journal. All of these lists use the same type of metrics in a general sense, and that's this. You simply have to have a theory as to how the list is calculated. Now, I say theory because no one knows for sure. Some will tell you that they know for sure, but they really, really don't. Now, we've got better theories about Amazon than we do about the New York Times, for example. Now, I'm going to show you again, you know, a little bit later here, something that I think cracks the code better than it has ever been done before. But here's the thing. If you have a theory about how the list is calculated, you then concentrate sales, all right, at the right locations during the right time frame. That's it. It's really, really that simple, okay? And when we say the right location, if, for example, you're doing the easiest one, which is Amazon, and by the way, it's easy, but it's still extremely beneficial. There was one time I hit number 2 overall on Amazon, and I ended up on the Wall Street Journal list without, you know, lifting an extra finger. But how Amazon works is really, really simple. You just go in and you target all of the sales energy that you can at Amazon.com in the shortest period of time, because Amazon updates this list once an hour. So with your marketing muscle and with the marketing muscle of other people and with other marketing avenues, and by the way, we'll break all that down for you. We'll show you all the potential marketing avenues that you can use. And believe me, it's easier to get the marketing help of other people than you think. A nice lady who's on the call tonight, Tracy Repchuk, I did an interview with her a couple days ago, and she was telling me how, you know, she didn't have all these connections. She didn't have a list to barter, so she went out and she bartered her copywriting services. Now, you may not be a copywriter. You've probably got other services that you can barter. It's a lot easier to do this than you think. Anyway, we break all that down for you, and we show you multiple ways that you can get this done so that you look at it and go, oh, wow, okay, I can totally do that. Now, that's a general overview of the general strategy. There are nuances for New York Times, nuances for Wall Street Journal, nuances for USA Today, and we break all of that down for you as well. Now, with that said, in a general sense, it's very easy, but you do have to know the specifics, and that's why it's really important that you follow a step-by-step plan. So with that said, Frank and Joe, starting with Frank, Could you guys just give us a couple minute synopsis of what your campaign was like, and was there anything special that you did to really make your campaign bulletproof so that you had pretty high confidence that you were going to do what you set out to do?
Yeah, well, if something really specific comes to mind. My Never Cold Call Again campaign, which was back on June 6, 2006, the date being 666, and that's relevant for something I'll bring up in a minute. I had negotiated mailings with as many marketers and best-selling authors, even people who were not very well-known, who had a few dozen or a few hundred friends that they could email the offer to. Did all that, and it was a day or two before the launch, and I'm sitting there, and I'm tweaking the site and tweaking the copy, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've got to be missing something here. So I actually emailed Joe the night before, and he wrote back and said, well, here's something you can do. And what we did was we set up a viral tell-a-friend system, and quite simply, when somebody bought the book, they were given an option to provide the names and email addresses of three friends, and in return for that, they got several very high-quality bonus gifts. So they weren't generic downloads that you can find anywhere. They were multimedia content created by me that tied into the book, so very high-quality material. And what I did was I tracked that for the first couple days, and I found that 40% of people who bought the book were filling out that form and were providing three real, genuine email addresses. And the result of that is we launched the book on June 6, 2006, was the first Tuesday of the month. We hit number one on Amazon within about 3 hours, and we had only sold about 385 books at that point, if I remember correctly. So that's just a glimpse into how easy it is to get the number one Amazon.
Wow.
From there, this was early in the morning. It continued, stayed at number one for most of the rest of that week, and then it continued for the rest of the month. So I did a couple follow-up mailings to my list. I had some other people do a few follow-up mailings, which gave it a little hit here and there, but what kept it going was the viral aspect, the tell-a-friend aspect. And then, lo and behold, the first Sunday of July, the New York Times bestseller list comes out, and many people don't realize the New York Times business bestseller list is calculated monthly, not weekly, like all of their other categories. As a result of that viral system, we sold enough books and kept the momentum going long enough to tie for number 7 on the New York Times business bestseller list. And on top of that, I mentioned earlier the date of 666 when we launched. Ann Coulter launched a book the same day called Godless, and her the name of the book was Godless, and the date was 666. Well, Ann was on, it was an extremely controversial book, if you remember. I haven't read it myself, but I've heard all about it. It was on daytime talk radio. It was on cable news programs all night, endless coverage. And despite the endless coverage she had, and I issued a press release about this a few days later because I was so proud of myself, I maintained number one on Amazon through the end of that week, and she was number two. And this was all because of this one little technique that I used in the launch. It's absolutely amazing what that did for me.
Wow, that's a really great story, and it's great to hear somebody going out and using these tactics and just completely trouncing some of these big-name authors who are getting TV publicity. It's just fantastic to hear that. Now, one quick note about this, in the bestseller blueprint, we show you guys a lot of these viral techniques. In fact, we've got some walkthrough videos of two different really interesting websites. One was The Mother of All Bribes, is something that Joe and I did together, and we used similar techniques there. Then also another website that I put together for The Great Formula, and I show everybody the subtleties of what made that work. And you're right, you know, the viral marketing aspect of it can have an absolutely huge impact on the results if used properly, and we'll show everybody exactly the nuance that needs to be applied there. And by the way, it's not as technically difficult to pull off as you may think, and we can help you with that as well. Joe, how about you? Could you just give us sort of a bird's eye view of your campaigns, how you generally do it, and anything special that you do outside of the viral marketing? Because I know you do a lot of that now as well to make it bulletproof.
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge Frank, because I just completely forgot about the tell a friend button that we can put on those pages. So I just learned something that I did know but forgot. That's the beauty of doing these calls and getting this information, is that there's just so much we need to be reminded of, and it's so great to have a step-by-step system that you can follow, where it's just laid out and, do one step, do the next step, and just walk through it to success. And then the second thing I want to say is that everything that I've done to make a bestseller, I've based it on the basic formula that you, Mark, created many years ago. And I've adapted it, I've tweaked it a little bit, I've added to it, but the basic formula that you came up with, and you even refer to it in your ebook, your special report that's out there, that's the foundation to success right there. In a nutshell, I'm a big believer in win-wins, and I also learned that from you, because offline people don't seem to always do those win-win type relationships. Online, it serves everybody to do a win-win. And what I mean by that is I'll often go to list owners, like Frank, for example, and I'll say, look, I have another book coming out. In fact, I have one next month called Inspired Marketing. And when I go to him, I'll say, I'm going to do a campaign. I'm going to do it on a particular day. I'll force my effort into a particular hour. And I'll say, do you have a unique bonus of some sort, a special report, an audio, a digital download of any sort? That's very valuable, not garbage, not something you've given out a million times, but something unique, fresh, original that you might even have been selling that you don't mind giving. When I go to a list owner and ask that, why would they say yes? They're saying yes because they know if my campaign is successful, they're going to get publicity. They're going to get a free ride. They'll get their name out there. They'll probably acquire new email addresses. Their own website will get hit. So there's a benefit to them. And then I'll ask them if you will do the mailing for me on that day. So that's the win for me. His win is giving this bonus, which is going to benefit him. And then ultimately, the third win, which ends up being a win-win-win strategy, is that the customer ends up with these nice bonuses.
Right.
So there's a basic formula that I learned from you, Mark, and, you know, I tweak it a little bit. If there's one tip that I've done that not everybody does, and I wish more did, is I use news releases. I'm a big believer in getting the media on my side, and I probably learned that from all my study of P.T. Barnum, who on his deathbed said that he owed the press of the United States for his great wealth, and he was one of the country's first millionaires. And so when The Attractor Factor came out, the latest Harry Potter book was cemented into the number one spot.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody was moving it. The Pope died. There were books about the Pope coming out. There were new novels coming out by Stephen King and all. Nobody was beating Harry Potter. I set this goal that said, I'm going to unseat Harry Potter. I sent out a news release saying that underdog Texas author is taking on the multimedia corporations, you know, because the Harry Potter author and their big company and the multimedia behind them has a fortune to spend. I'm this Texas author working in his estate on the second floor in front of his computer, and I'm going to leverage the computer against their empire. So I sent out a news release, which was picked up. I also sent that news release to my list, encouraging them not to buy a book, but if they had already bought a book, to think about their family, their friends, the schools, the prisoners, the educational system, hospitals, churches. I wanted them to buy books in bulk. Well, apparently it worked because Attractor Factor took over the number one spot. And then I sent out another news release saying Texas author treed Harry Potter and was about to keep him up there for the next week. And I kept in the number one spot for the next 3 days. And I gotta say that a whole large part of this was from this extra technique of sending out a news release, which was just a clever thing to do, inexpensive thing to do, simple to do, and it led to an easy success. Obviously, I'm still proud of it.
Oh, you should be. And I remember the day you did that, you and I were emailing back and forth, and, and we were, you know, talking a lot of trash about that little Potter punk, and, you know, we were going to take him down. And I got to tell you, if you had been in our office when you hit it, you know, you would have just heard this, you know, thunderous applause. You know, I mean, everybody was just rooting for you. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And we had a similar thing, probably not really on the same level as that. When the Da Vinci Code film came out, the book was pegged at number one, and I had to take that down to number two for a while with the great formula, and we were able to do it. You know, I think it was probably much more difficult to do Harry Potter, so you get my serious props and respect for that. But listen, guys, you know, you should not be intimidated by, you know, these other book appearances. You can totally do this. And the results are sometimes really staggering. Now, I want to talk here for a quick second about the danger of doing this alone, okay? There are guys who have attempted this and have forgotten about very, very minor details and have really blown it as a result. Now, I'm not telling you this because I want you to panic about it. There's nothing to panic about if you think about it and you plan in advance, okay? That's why we put this together in this blueprint fashion, so that you just go through the process step by step. You sort of fill everything in, and then you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have any doubt, okay? So, for example, if somebody, you know, gets this going and they don't think about exactly how they're going to verify that someone purchased the product. I remember somebody did that, and they thought about that on the last minute. And I did everything I could, but, you know, they were calling me, you know, a couple hours into the campaign, and, you know, a lot of the juice from the campaign had sort of gone away. So, anyway, these are little things that you can sort out if you just plan in advance. But you don't have to worry about that, because we're going to get the blueprint here in just a few short moments. We're actually, wow, if you believe it or not, 43 minutes have just flown by here. It's astounding me, because it's so, I never cease to be amazed that when I talk with brilliant guys like Frank and Joe, how quickly the time passes. Now, I want to tell you really quick here about this document we put together for you. Okay, now you can go download this now. You don't have to download with any urgency, because this is going to stay up for a little while. It's at simpleology.com/bonus/NYT. Now, this is the nightshade document. Okay, and I'm just going to I'll outline for you exactly what it says. It's very, very simple. It's so simple that you're just going to be in utter shock. Okay, but it is just so powerful. Again, simpleology.com/bonus/NYT, short for New York Times. Okay, now, there are a lot of theories about what will work for the New York Times bestseller list and what won't. Nobody knows this 100%. Even what we've done here with the Nightshade document, which I think is the best thing ever that's been put together on this, this still doesn't know it 100%. This is always theory, guys, and you just have to accept that. But there are certain theories that we know have worked, okay? We know that certain things, paint by numbers, will always work for Amazon. They pretty much always work for New York Times and Wall Street Journal and all those other lists, the systems that we put up for you. You can even hit multiple lists at the same time. Now, a lot of people say that you have to do X, Y, Z to hit New York Times or hit Wall Street Journal. Well, I just targeted Amazon and ended up on Wall Street Journal. Frank only targeted Amazon, and he ended up on New York Times. So if you get some residual tactics going on here, and we'll show you how to do that, you can get your book in places that you would have never imagined without having to lift much of an extra finger. So now, the traditional theory about the New York Times is that they poll several different locations. Primarily, they look at, so the theory goes, independent bookstores. Now, we're pretty certain that this is true, because there are people who go out and do a method for becoming bestsellers that I don't recommend to you, and that's that they go out and they buy multiple copies of their own book. We're talking about self-esteem here, right? You don't really get that self-esteem boost by going out and buying the book yourself. I think your brain is smarter than that. It knows that you faked it, right? So you might be able to fake it to the rest of the world, but you know, you will know. And the New York Times sometimes knows as well. They'll put a little dagger by authors that they suspect are manipulating the system in that way. What we're talking about are genuine methods for getting real people to buy your books. And by the way, these work for fiction books, for nonfiction books, any book out there. And in fact, the same techniques can be used to launch a product in almost any industry. It's really a thing of beauty. Now, if you've got questions about this, something I want to tell you guys, we are going to have 4 question and answer calls over the next 3 months after the blueprint starts. And these are going to be marathon sessions. Well, I'm going to personally stay on the line. And it doesn't matter if I have to stay on the line for 12 hours. Literally, I'm going to stay on the line until every question is answered, and I'm going to do that 4 times for you guys. Okay, now there's a window of opportunity that's only going to last 48 hours to get in on this. But the thing is, I just want to underscore to you that that's going to be there. So if you've got any questions now, don't worry. Just relax a little bit. We got you covered. Okay, so any question that you have, I am personally going to answer those questions for you. We'll be on the call. You'll raise your hand, and I'll call you personally, the one listening now, and I will answer your question. Again, if this takes me 12 hours or even longer, I'm going to do it. Now, hopefully it won't take longer than 12 hours to answer all the questions, but that's the commitment I'm making to you guys, and that's what I'm going to do. Now, the Nightshade document, okay? We know that the New York Times weights independent bookstores more than other stores, Okay, this is a pretty well-known and established fact. Now, some people say you can increase your chances by hitting some online stores and some of the chain stores as well. We talk more about that in the blueprint. But here's the thing, okay? We know for a fact that independent bookstores work, but here's the real problem. No one has been able to tell you which independent bookstores to target. Okay, so I was on the phone with Stuart Woods. If you don't know who he is, he sold millions and millions and millions of copies of his mystery books. He's had 22 best-selling books in a row. And I mean, we're talking, you know, mega bestsellers. Again, millions and millions and millions of copies. He told me something profoundly simple. He said, Mark, why don't people just call up the independent bookstores and ask them if they report to the New York Times? And I was stunned. I thought, wow, okay, why has no one ever thought of this? This is why he's Stuart Woods. He's just this absolute genius. Well, so I had some reservations. I thought, well, okay, so, you know, what do we do here? I mean, is that true? Are people really going to tell you? Well, it turns out yes. Okay, so the document, the Nightshade document, outlines that for you. You can go do that strategy right now. But here's what we've done, okay? We have used hundreds of man hours over the last couple weeks, and we have called independent bookstores, starting with the largest and most important, because those are the ones that you really want to target, and we found out for you which ones report and which ones don't. They told us that you don't have to do the legwork. Inside the bestseller blueprint, we are going to give you an Excel file that lists every single one that we've called that gave us an answer. And I believe that there are over 100, maybe even a couple hundred respondents that we have on that. All you need is a good handful of these stores that report to really target that properly. So you can target your promotional efforts on the stores that report. So now there's no guesswork for you. Now, Joe and Frank, what do you think about that?
I want it. Not go. I want it. I want it now. Start begging. It's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. It's so simple, but yet, you know, I hadn't done it. And if somebody's already done it for me, I want it. I mean, literally, I want it.
Is I'm going to use it, because even though my two published books are respectively 1 year and 2 years old, they still have long legs from being bestsellers. And the first thing I'm going to do is take this list and get in touch with these people and promo my books through them.
Absolutely. That's the reaction I was hoping for. You know, when somebody tells you, hey, I want that, that's the right reaction. Not that's a nice idea, but where can I get that? That's the response you want. So that's good. You guys get how important that is. Now, I want to give a quick shout out here to the folks at Ka-Ching Tank. Now, Ka-Ching Tank is an office I put together in Auckland. These guys are doing fabulous work. Leon Jay was the guy who came up with that idea to actually make those phone calls. After I got off the phone with Stuart Wood, he said, hey, why don't we call them? And I thought, well, there's another blinding flash of the obvious. Why don't we do it? And we put a whole bunch of people on the task of doing that. So props to the Ka-Ching Tankers. Absolutely fantastic guys. If you guys want to learn more about that, you can just Google that. That's an interesting side project we have going on there. Now, you guys are going to get access to the Excel document that breaks all that out for you, the full plan, and there are some other bonuses as well that you will see as soon as we go live here in about 10 minutes. Okay, now I'll just give you a quick rundown of why this is important. Again, that 48-hour window, we're closing the doors for this after 48 hours. And if we release this in the future, I'm not going to do these live marathon calls again. I don't think that's something I want to do for the rest of my life. That's something that's going to take hours and hours and hours of my time. But that is what I've committed to do for you guys. Now, another thing here that we're giving in the next 48 hours, I put together some hours upon hours upon hours of some streaming video for you guys. Three separate collections of streaming video that reveals some arcane and really interesting and rare marketing knowledge from some various sources, and I'm going to show that to you guys. Just a little hint of one of the things that we have there. I put together a document that shows you guys some really clever and interesting stuff that I've never shown anyone else about how I do outsourcing and about how you can get your dollars to stretch sometimes 2 to 15 times the value of spending that you get in America with the same dollars, okay? Now, that's just one of the collections of streaming videos that I put together for you. There are three collections of streaming videos, and you guys are going to get access to all that as well. And you guys will see all of that in just a couple minutes. We're going live in just a couple moments. Now, for the folks that I asked to stay on the line, I want you guys to stay on the line for just one more second. But before we do that, I just want everyone to just give out a warm thank you to Joe and Frank. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the lines for just a quick second, and then we're going to mute them again. Now, as soon as I unmute the lines, I want everyone in the count of three to say just a great big and loud thank you, Frank. Now, this is going to sound like absolute chaos because we got a mass number of people on the lines. But on the count of three, I want everyone to say thank you, Joe. Thank you, Frank. Okay? So stand by just one second. One, two, three.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Y'all are awesome.
Oh, that always feels good. Nice. Thank you for doing that.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, you're very, very welcome. And thank you both from me. I've just got so much love and respect for both of you guys. You're both extraordinary human beings, and you're so generous to show up. Here you guys are, on your national TV appearances and all that, coming in and taking your time to spend time with me and these folks to get them kickstarted on their path to bestsellerhood. So thank you again from the bottom of my heart for that. It's absolutely wonderful.